Obviously, the big issue for me this week is going to be the effort to mark up the health care reform legislation in the Finance Committee, and that's starts tomorrow morning and will probably continue for the full week. So if you have any questions about that or anything else, I'm glad to respond.
Okay. Well, indeed I do. I'd like to start with this question, Senator. The Capitol Hill newspaper roll call this morning is calling you the pivotal senator in the health care overhaul debate. That's not the first time that you've been called one of the key members of the Senate in this health care conversation. The article goes on, though, to quote an unnamed lobbyist who says you will walk away from your call for a public option in order to salvage other important elements of the Baucus bill. So first question I have for you is, I guess, your response to hearing that from that article.
Well, I first of all, I think there are a lot of pivotal senators in this debate, and a lot of them are on the Finance Committee that starts its markup tomorrow. My own approach on this is I favor a public option. I have voted for one, and I would like to see us report a bill that contains one, and we'll see if the opportunity arises to do that.
Can you tell me what are the key elements of the Baucus bill that you would most want to salvage? Once these bills are read into the Senate, there's going to be an effort to combine them. I'd like to know what you think coming out of the Baucus bill you most want to see in that combination.
Well, I think the Baucus bill contains the major elements of health care reform, the way the president has talked about it and the way various of us have thought of it. It reforms the insurance markets so that insurance policies in the future would have to have certain guarantees in there. They couldn't exclude coverage for pre-existing conditions, for example. It also reforms the payment system in Medicare. It tries to encourage a more rational payment system that is focused on quality of care rather than just quantity of services provided. I think that's very positive. It expands coverage and provides an opportunity for a lot more people to obtain health insurance coverage. And it also tries to reduce the growth in the cost of health care going forward. That's a very much needed initiative. And frankly, the whole health care reform effort has been justified by the president and many of us on the basis that if we don't do something to reform the health care system, the growth in health care costs is just going to swamp the federal budget, state budgets, family budgets in the years ahead.
Okay, well, thanks much. I appreciate your answer. It sounds like we've got someone else on the line. I've got more, but I'll wait.
Oh, okay. Is Bill there?
I am. Sorry if I joined late.
No problem.
I don't know what's been asked so far, but I'll ask about the article in the Hill today that says that you're ready to let go of the public option. Has that been asked before?
It was asked, and I indicated that I have supported a public option. I voted for it in the HELP bill. I hope we get an opportunity to vote for it in this legislation, and we'll see. We'll see where the markup proceeds.
Will you lobby for it when the issue comes to debate on the floor?
Well, I'll be glad to, frankly, but the truth is this has been such a heavily lobbied issue that most senators have staked out what their position is on the issue. It's not a question of not having heard different points of view. I think everyone's heard all the different points of view, and some agree that it would make sense to have a public option. Others strongly disagree.
Now, given the Baucus bill as it stands now, is there Republican support for it in the committee, and is it likely to get Republican support on the floor?
Well, we don't know, frankly, the answer to either of those questions. Senator Baucus has tried to include, as you know, three Republicans in the discussions that led to the drafting of this bill. I think it's fair to say that Senator Snowe from Maine has been the most open to the idea of moving ahead with a bill of this type, but she has not signed on to this legislation. And I think Senator Enzi and Senator Grassley, who are the other two Republicans involved in most of the discussions, have stated objections to different parts of what Senator Baucus has proposed.
Will this bill now go to the Health Education Committee for conference?
No, it doesn't. The Health Committee, Health Education Committee, has already reported a bill. This bill, if we're able to report a bill out of the Finance Committee, then the two bills will be merged and consolidated by the Majority Leader, Senator Reid, into a single piece of legislation that he'll bring to the Senate floor. And so that would be the way the Senate would get to consideration of a health care reform bill.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Jim, we're back to you.
All right, thanks much. Let me just give you a quick scenario, Senator, and I want to get your reaction to it. The bill that comes out of the Health Committee contains a public option. This is the so-called Kennedy bill. The bill coming out of the Finance Committee does not contain a public option. The two get combined on the Senate floor with a public option, and then there's some pressure to move ahead with the reconciliation process to pass that combination bill with just 51 votes. Would you support that effort?
Well, I will, but I think that there are really going to be two efforts that are separate there that are, I think, you somewhat combined. The first effort will be to bring a bill to the Senate floor in the regular order, that is, the normal rules of the Senate. And that will be the bill that Senator Reid develops by combining the elements of the HELP bill and the elements of the finance bill, and that may or may not contain a public option. It'll be his decision as to whether or not to bring a bill to the floor with a so-called public option included in that. Then we will try to see if we have 60 votes to pass that legislation and to go ahead and get a bill to conference with the House of Representatives. If we do not, then the option of looking at including a health reform measure in the reconciliation bill would have to be looked at. And that would only require 51 votes, but there are pretty strict limits on how much of a health care reform bill could be included in reconciliation.
Is it your sense that in order to avoid the reconciliation process, Senate leadership will drop the public option from that combination?
Well, no, I think they're two separate issues. I think the Senate leadership may decide to go with a public option in order to get 60 votes, or may decide not to include a public option in order to get 60 votes for a regular bill. Then if they are unsuccessful, if the Senate does not have 60 votes for whatever bill the Senate leadership brings to the Senate floor, then we go to reconciliation. And frankly, I don't think a public option would be something that would be included in that, but that would be strictly a decision for what the parliamentarian would permit to be included.
You're saying that you don't believe that a public option would be included in that reconciliation bill?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if the parliamentarian would allow it to be, and that would be the determining factor.
And that's because of the requirements that are placed on bills that come through reconciliation?
That's correct.
Can I ask you a question about, you mentioned lobbying. There's been a great deal of lobbying from across the spectrum on this health care debate. Could I ask you what you're hearing most from lobbyists on this issue right now?
Well, it depends on how broadly you want to define lobbyists. I'm hearing a lot from people in New Mexico in favor of a public option. I'm hearing, of course, from quite a few in New Mexico opposed to us doing anything on health care reform or anything major along the lines that are being discussed here in the Congress. I think the issue of how to pay for it is certainly causing a lot of people to wade in with their point of view. People are not in favor of seeing any taxation on health care benefits. If that can be avoided, I can certainly understand that. They also are not in favor of being required to purchase insurance that they can't afford to purchase, and I can certainly understand that.
That is in the Baucus bill, and that's something that you would disagree with in a final bill, I would imagine?
Well, it's a question of judgment as to whether or not the insurance that people would be required to obtain is affordable or is not affordable in the current bill. I think my view is it is not as affordable as it should be. And we hopefully in this markup of legislation will be able to provide additional assistance to people so that whatever they're required to obtain is something they can afford.
Thanks much.
Uh-huh. Bill, did you have any other questions?
I do. There may be more on health care, but I'd like to turn to Afghanistan. The generals in Afghanistan are predicting dire consequences if we stay on the current course. What's your feeling about that?
Well, I think the president's going to have some very difficult decisions to make as to whether or not we can define a strategy that gets us to a point of being able to stabilize that situation there and claim some measure of success in the reasonable future. And if we can't see a clear path to doing that, I think it's a difficult burden for the president to persuade the Congress that we should just put more and more troops into Afghanistan. I think the experience of other countries that have been involved with Afghanistan should give us a lot of warning about waiting in with no clear idea of how we're going to succeed.
Before the Obama administration, you were saying we probably shouldn't be there for any length of time anyway.
Well, I didn't think I said that. What I was trying to say, clearly I felt that we should have given more attention to Afghanistan shortly after we invaded Afghanistan or went into Afghanistan. But I think our attention was deflected into Iraq, which I did think was a big mistake. I didn't think we had any business invading Iraq as we did. But now that we are in Afghanistan, I think we have to make a sober judgment about what are the achievable objectives that we can look to accomplish here in the next few years. If we can't define those properly or adequately, then we need to go to Plan B and find a way to extricate ourselves.
Well, that seems to be the question. Why are we there? Al-Qaeda has now entrenched itself in Pakistan. If we go there, we'll go somewhere else, wouldn't you think?
Well, I think Al-Qaeda has entrenched itself in Pakistan and is doing a pretty good job of growing its strength in Afghanistan as well. And I think whatever we do in Afghanistan in the future is going to have to depend upon our plans and our strategy in Pakistan also. But as I say, I think the administration has to have a well-defined strategy and plan of action that it can justify before it's going to get a lot of support from the Congress for more troops in Afghanistan.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Jim, do you have another question?
I do, Senator. I want to move on to a different topic. I want to ask you about your support for the so-called Justice Act, a major overhaul of some elements of the Patriot Act. Could you tell me why you support this Justice Act effort?
Yeah, these are this Justice Act, which was introduced this last week, tries to make changes in various provisions of law that were put in effect during the Bush administration, which I think do raise serious questions about the rights of private records of American citizens. And I think these are corrections that I hope we'll be able to make when this legislation comes up. Some of these things hopefully can be done before the end of this year. But the legislation was put together by Senator Leahy, who chairs our Judiciary Committee, and these are provisions in the legislation that I would like to see corrected.
You know, supporters of the Patriot Act have contended that strong efforts are necessary to fight terrorism, and that's the reason why the Patriot Act was enacted. What would you say to supporters of the Patriot Act who are going to have a hard time with pulling out some of the elements that they consider to be strong?
Well, I think there are things that were done and that should have been done to strengthen our ability to maintain surveillance of terrorist activities. But I think we went too far. And so my own view is we could go back and make corrections in the legislation that was passed, and that would be a good thing to do. And so it's all a question of how do you balance the need to maintain security in a very dangerous world, and the rights of Americans to not be spied upon.
Well, I recognize it's still sort of early in this process on the Justice Act, but what about getting Republican support for it? Do you think that will be possible, or would Democrats find themselves in the same situation you're in now with the health care issue?
I believe there is some Republican support for the bill. I don't remember exactly who co-sponsored it this time, but there are some on the Republican side who have shared the concerns that the that this legislation is trying to address.
My understanding is currently there are no Republican co-sponsors on the bill, unless things have changed since the end of last week.
Oh, okay. Well, you have better information than I do. But in the previous Congress, I think we did have some support.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Bill, did you have another question?
One more. If a health care bill passes that, in your view and the view of others, isn't ideal, would that be it, or could changes be made later?
Oh, I think that this markup that we're working on this week in the Finance Committee is one of the many steps in this process. And I think clearly if there are still problems with the bill after we conclude our actions this week, there will be opportunities to correct those on the Senate floor, in conference with the House, if we're able to move ahead. I think every step has its own difficulties, and obstacles get raised at every step. But we hope we can get through this week of markup and have a bipartisan bill at the end of the week that we can report to the full Senate.
If the legislation is passed, both houses, and it's not ideal in your view and in the view of others, can things change another year?
Oh, yeah, there's no question. Congress meets every year, and I think this is the best opportunity that I've seen since I've been here in the Congress to make major changes in our healthcare delivery system. But that doesn't mean that if we fall short this year, we can't come back in the next Congress and do better.
So would you say that even though it's not perfect, you would support something, however it misses the mark this time?
Well, it depends on how much it misses the mark, but I clearly would like to see us accomplish what we are able to get a consensus to accomplish. There are lots of pieces to this health care reform bill, and many of them are very much needed.
Okay, thanks. And that's it for me.
Okay. Jim, did you have another question?
I do, Senator. I just want to ask, what are the elements of the Baucus bill that you were responsible for in the Gang of Six and helping get into this Baucus bill?
Well, I don't know that I'm going to claim responsibility or credit for a particular elements of the bill. I think what we did in the discussions that I was part of with Senator Baucus and the others was to take a proposal that the staff had developed for healthcare reform and talk through the various provisions of it and modify them as we could get agreement to do so. In some cases, I was successful in persuading people to modifications of what the staff had earlier prepared. In other cases, I was not. And I'm sure that can be said by every member of the so-called Group of Six. But I think that we did improve the legislation from where it was first presented to us, and identifying exactly which part each of us was responsible for, I think, would be very difficult.
Let me just rephrase that. Would you say that there were elements that you fought for more than others in those meetings?
Well, I was concerned, and I think I'm still concerned, that whatever we're requiring in the way of health care coverage by people, be affordable, that people, particularly in a state like New Mexico, where we have a lot of moderate income individuals, that they have the resources and that the government helps provide some of the resources so that they can obtain the coverage that we're requiring people to get. So I think that's one area that I focused attention on.
Okay, and one more quick question. That is, Medicaid would be expanded under the Baucus bill, but patients' yearly health care costs would be capped. Could you explain your understanding of just what that means?
You're talking about Medicaid or Medicare?
I'm sorry, I said Medicaid. I meant Medicare would be expanded under the Baucus bill.
Well, I don't really think Medicare is expanded under the Baucus bill. I think probably you were talking about Medicaid. Medicaid is expanded. There are a lot of folks would be eligible for Medicaid who currently are not, because we would require all states to cover adults, parents, and single adults up to 133% of poverty. And so there's a lot of expansion in Medicaid. There are in Medicaid some requirements for copay that are very modest, and those would continue.
You're right. So I had them swapped. Medicare actually would potentially receive some cuts over time. Is that possible?
Well, there's nothing in the proposal that would cut the benefits for Medicare beneficiaries. There are proposed cuts to providers under the Medicare system, and that is partly because we think that improved efficiencies can be realized, and partly because as more and more people go into Medicare, the opportunity for additional savings should be there.
Okay. Thanks, Senator.
Uh-huh. Thank you both for talking to me.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.